We are back, episode 9. Welcome to the show. I am Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
If not, you're about to. We've been having these conversations since college, and we're about to have another one right now.
Yes, it's the regular guy's random thoughts, married at first sight, recap, kill me that it's only episode 9.
Well, at least we're episode 9, and we've gotten into some interesting parts of this. So without further ado, well, before we jump into it, I got to just explain to everyone who is new to seeing this the first time, if you haven't already, then understand that reason we're recapping Married at First Sight is because Terrell made a deal with the devil at some point in life. I'm not quite sure exactly when. He said he wouldn't watch The Bachelor until they had a black bachelor. Lo and behold, ABC goes, hey, meet Matt James. So he's stuck watching the show. So me being the good friend that I am, I go with him and I'll watch the show and we recap that show. And then as payback, I go, you know what? You got to watch the show I like. And so here we are recapping season 13, Married at First Sight. H-Town, perfect, because you're right up the street in Houston. I mean, in Austin, so therefore,
yeah,
this should be right down the street, alley.
It is, but I noticed you downgraded yourself from being the great friend that you are to the good friend that you are. Good. I like that.
Yeah, and I gave you no status on your friendship, so
I noticed that, too. But you brought yourself down a notch because it's because of you we're having to watch this crap, but that's fine.
Well, no, I just wanted you to feel better about yourself. That's all.
I feel great about me every day.
I'm still a great friend.
Okay.
All right, so as we get into episode 9, a lot of stuff happening in this one, man. And let's go ahead and start off with the most boring couple on the show, Ryan and Brett.
I still stand by what I've been saying, that I don't think Ryan is feeling Brett. Mm-hmm. He's just not there. He's not interested. So I really don't see this. It's funny to watch him. I don't have a lot to say because I'm just like, you don't like her.
Yeah.
Brett just seems cool. But, and did I miss a comment? Because I was multitasking a little bit. But I saw the people on Twitter saying that Brett was hoping she had had a person of color that she would get matched with. Did I miss something about that?
Yeah, I think I missed that too. But, I mean, if that's the case, it explains your whole, you know, if that person who gave you that little tidbit that, you know, Brett and somebody of color on the show hooked up, this really explains it. But I missed that too. But then again, here's the difference. I tune out every time Ryan and Brett are on the screen because they're just so damn boring. I mean, usually boring means good because it seems like they were getting to a good spot, but Ryan just doesn't want to do anything with her. Like, she's like, I'm hoping for intimacy, and you can see she's trying, and he's just like, yeah, I'm going through the motions. I'm here.
Yeah, I just don't think he's attracted to her. I think that's what it boils down to, and that's and you add on top of that the other things. You know, she hates flying. Mm-hmm. She's not into that. You know,
anything.
You know, no, something tells me she would go to a women's rally and wear a pussy hat. I think she would totally do that, where Ryan
She's
would have an issue with that. Yeah. So, I just don't think that Ryan is attracted to her. And that's what it boils down to. He's just not there, in my opinion, what I'm seeing.
Well, kudos to her for not giving it up to him yet, because he would still feel the exact same way even if she did give it up to him. So in this case, I go, kudos, Brett, for standing your ground, holding out, and, you know, yeah, protect at all times.
Protect your neck.
That's what we're calling it these days.
Yeah.
Speaking of protection and the lack of it on the honeymoon, but it wasn't needed anyway, at least from what they told us until they finally confessed that they were doing it. Jose and Rachel, besides the fact that Jose is just way too judgmental, judging her on the toothpaste and the tube of toothpaste, I'm like, really, dude? Y'all using separate tubes of toothpaste. Why are you so judgmental?
I wonder how long Rachel is going to put up with that, and if she can. Mm-hmm. Because it seems like he's wanting her to conform to a lot of who he is, but he's not listening to the things that when she's bringing it up. The dude talks a lot.
No, I mean,
he just talks a lot. And she had a good point. Like, he talks a lot, but he doesn't do a great job of listening. Mm-hmm. And the whole nitpicky things that he does, he's not realizing that you're making her feel some kind of way about these things every time you bring it up. It's toothpaste, right? Now, speaking of toothpaste, I believe toothpaste is made to be squeezed from the bottom because it's also on the directions. So that's how it's supposed to be.
Oh, you read the directions on toothpaste?
Yeah. Yeah, it says start from the bottom, squeeze out.
Okay, Jose, go
but
ahead.
But if I was with somebody who always squeezed from the middle, get her own tube. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have
but
to judge.
But she already has one.
Exactly.
Look, I looked at yours.
Exactly. So who cares what she does with her tube of toothpaste? If you mess with my tube of toothpaste, I might be like, but I'll go on about it. But he's just nitpicky about so many little things that I'm just wondering if that's going to weigh on her. And then the whole cheater situation.
Okay, so I think a lot of men can feel him on this one, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, but if your woman cheats on you, you're going to have a hard time giving her, you know, the trust again and rebuilding that trust. We think, and as guys, you think automatically, well, women should trust me. I mean, I said I wasn't going to do it again, so what? You know, but it doesn't work that way in reverse. So, however, she didn't cheat on him. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, a cheater never changes. Well, that means you won't ever change either, brother, because all the things that you do wrong, are you saying that you will never change?
Yeah, I don't think it's right to judge somebody for their past. Mm-hmm. You know, she talked about it. This happened, right? A lot of men have
cheated. And she admitted it.
Yeah, and she admitted it. It's not like you found out, you know, through a source
right,
that she admitted it, right? But, like, I know a girl that, God, this probably would have had to been 10 years ago. This is back in my restaurant days. But she was telling me about her husband. Mm-hmm. And she says, Terrell, you know, he's amazing. I think they were maybe newlyweds around that time or something. Mm-hmm. But she said that, or disclosed that he's the first person that she's never cheated on. She goes, I've cheated in every relationship, but there's something about him and it's never happened. And I'm in love. And I think that's great. But I think if this was 8 years ago, that you're going to judge her for something that she did 8 years ago. And the guy forgave her because he stayed with her another 6 years after she cheated.
When ugly dudes get beautiful women, right? First of all, they're surprised that they're with them. And they like, just like he was. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe she's exactly what I wanted. And I'm exactly what you wanted. She goes, yes, I didn't want to be attracted to my husband. And he's like, what the fuck? But so he forgot this. And what happens, the same thing happens when ugly dudes get beautiful women, they forget and the woman shows a lot of interest and shows that, oh yes, I'm into you. Then all of a sudden they get this cocky shit and they get into the point of just like, now they degrade everything about that woman. And it's like, you don't forget, she can walk away from you and snatch somebody else immediately. Because she is not a bad looking woman. I mean, she may keep a messy car and she may want to go on vacation, but who doesn't want to go on vacation, right?
Right.
What else? I mean, she doesn't own her own house. I mean, but I mean, and she likes to do goat yoga. I mean, now that may be a problem, but other than that,
some people are into that. I mean, don't knock it till you try it.
When they were doing the whole, are you in love or have you ever been in love? And he was like, he was in a relationship for 4 years and he knew that this is somebody that he could not spend the rest of his life with. And I got to say this, men and women, stop wasting each other's time. I've never been in a serious monogamous relationship with any woman that I have never thought that this could be my wife, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I may have quickly realized this shit ain't happening. And we exit. But at the end of the day, why waste good monogamy on somebody you don't plan on being with for the rest of your life?
Good monogamy, not bad monogamy.
I'm just saying. Why waste it? Don't waste that shit on bullshit.
I gotta use that one. Are you monogamous? Are you good monogamous or bad monogamous?
Oh my God.
That's a good point and 100% right. Like, I don't see how people are together for years. Mm-hmm. I could get it if you're like, you know, we met in college and then, you know, we both started our careers and we realized we want different things. I don't see how people like in their 30s, you know, have a 4-year relationship with somebody and then are like, no.
And I knew this was way different than this when I'd say to somebody who was in a relationship, they've been in a relationship 2 years, 3 years, and I was, y'all gonna get married? Oh, hell no. No, I'm like, why y'all still together? Because it's comfortable? Walk away. At least it's not the case for them. But I'm just saying, you know, with Jose and of course, Rachel was in her 8-year relationship, but you know, she had plans for that one. It didn't work out the way it did. Just like Gil has plans to fall in love with Merla and Merla to fall in love with him and happily ever after. And
It's never going to happen. Never going to happen. Like, if I was Gil, I wouldn't even talk about it. Just go with the flow, because Gil's a bit of a killjoy. You know, at the restaurant, why would you go to a place this? I wouldn't go. I like going to nice restaurants every now and then. I don't go every week, but every now and then I do treat myself to something fancy. You know, and so there's nothing wrong with that, that what Merla's doing. And she got the idea of the place because she saw somebody posted something about a drink. She wanted to go try it. Great. Yeah. You know, where Gil doesn't want to. And that's the disconnect, right? I agree with Merla on that. Gil just seems a little whiny. Like, everybody, I think, was so, you know, Gil. Yes. And episode after episode, I'm just like, come on, man.
I will say, though, I'm with Gil on the fact that I don't like to eat out a lot. I'd rather cook at home, right? However, I am with Merla in the fact that she's like, yeah, brunch every weekend. I'm not. She'd rather do brunch every weekend. I'm like, okay, that's once a week, and then out to dinner twice a month. That's not asking too much. I expected her to say twice a week. That's not asking a lot. But then again, Gil showed up to this restaurant that is obviously of a higher scale, and it's Canadian tuxedo. Okay, so I mean, look, brother, let me explain certain things to you. Leave that jean jacket in the car next time. If he was just in the white tee, it would have been fine.
Brunch is one of the cheapest meals, if you really think about it. You know, I like going out to eat for dinner. Going out to brunch is not really expensive. Even if you're doing all-you-can-eat brunch, you know, at some restaurants, and it's buffet style. It's
$30. Mimosas.
$30, but you're getting all kind of good stuff, but it's still $30, where dinner... Mm-hmm. You know, just the steak alone could be $30, not even counting sides, right? So it's not the most expensive thing to do. Day drinking on a Sunday, it's awesome. It's what God wanted us to do. Day drink.
Yes.
So it's amazing. So it's just, he doesn't seem as open, and he just seems very judgy because it's not his world, but it's not his world because she can't afford it, or he can't afford it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if his thought process is, what if we fell in love? Because Merla's not asking you to treat me to brunch every Sunday and treat me to dinner twice a month. She's just saying, I like to do these things. And if you're in a marriage, it's a partnership. Hey, baby, I got it. I got the check this time. That could, it's never going to happen with those two. I mean, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But I'm just saying that Gil's just a little, he's just a little too... little bit too much. What do you think about how much he still keeps sharing with the group about their relationship?
Yeah, I mean, again, we talk about Gossipy Gil, man. He's got to stop that shit, man. Stop sharing all the details. I'm waiting for him to actually share the details of the foot massage because, you know, I'm the reason he probably was just all this up in arms is because if you're giving someone a foot massage and they're on their phone. All right, I'll stop right there. I will not incriminate myself. I plead the fifth. I'm just saying.
You know, I was laughing at the foot massage because it made me think about the beginning of Pulp Fiction when John Travolta and Samuel Jackson having a conversation about foot massages. I feel like Gil thought that, I know what I'll do.
That's the college mentality.
How about college? Totally.
And let me give you a massage.
Let me give you a foot massage. Okay. Yeah, does this feel nice? It feels all right, but I mean, it's only feel it feel better if I like my feet were hurting or they're sore, but they're not. So your feet don't hurt right now? No. But he thought he was like, this is what's going to be my move. I'm going to watch this. Like, I got to warn you. I've been known to get stopped. The minute somebody says, I got to warn you, I'm good at X.
Yeah.
Automatically, we're like, no, you're not. And you put in whatever X is. If someone says, I got to warn you, my cooking makes guys fall in love with me. No, it doesn't. And if a man is like, look, I got to be honest, you sleep with me, you go further. No, he's not that good.
Just like if she says, I've never done this before. So moving on to Johnny and Bob.
It's the ones that are like, I don't know if we should be doing this. Those are the ones you got to be scared of.
Oh, my God. You know, I told you before last week, and again, I reiterated it last week when we asked who was going to be the next one to consummate. I told you Johnny and Bao would do it, and guess what? Guess who's right.
You are correct, sir.
Thank you.
You are correct. Now, I'm glad that they finally moved the pillow and got close. But still, my point about their relationship is what Johnny looks for to feel connected. Yes, they had the sex thing, but let's take the painting date. Johnny had an expectation of, we're just going to have fun and be silly. This, you know, he thought the other night with shooting darts was great, fun, no pressure net. Bao was like, you know, breaking out her Excel spreadsheet and trying to figure out exactly where on the thing that she should put orange. And then I need to do some algebra to get the colors to mix up to a certain. It was like too much. Johnny was like, let's just have fun and paint. Look, so I could see where he's coming from, though.
No, Johnny's got to figure out what he wants. When she gets silly, he doesn't like that. And when she gets serious, he doesn't. Look, if you just don't like the girl, just say you don't like her. Don't sleep with her, okay? But what we did find out, or at least what I saw in this episode, she was trying to hunt him down for the sex. And I told you, if he ever hits the right button, it's on. Well, apparently she had to hit the button for it to be on. Because he was just like, what is up with the men on this damn show? That don't, because Ryan obviously is not trying to sleep with Brett. You had Jose who was trying to run from Rachel, and now you got Johnny who was running from Bao. I mean, what, the women got to conquer the men on this show? What the hell is up in Houston? What kind of role reversal bullshit is this?
It's the city of Houston. It's the armpit of Texas.
Because you know Michaela chased down Zach the honeymoon.
Oh, yeah. He had no chance.
Well, she actually said it was a little different. She said she had, you know, a heart shaped cut into her private. So, and he was like, "Hey, can I see it?" And then proceeded with the old college move.
Well, I mean, after the PJs, Michaela, those PJs was fire. I still won't forget that. Wouldn't date her if they don't work out. No, Michaela, I'm not interested. You're really nice. You're a beautiful black woman, but no. But with Johnny and Bao, I want to know what the bet was. I wanted to know, like, what Johnny won, because he said, you got to do whatever I want to do in the bedroom. And I'm curious, is this when, because I told you, Johnny's a freak. And everybody was like, no, Johnny's not. I'm like, no, Johnny's into some things. And so I just want to know
it was. Because you and I don't watch Unfiltered. And full disclosure, we don't watch Unfiltered because we're like, first of all, I would never get Terrell to be able to watch it. So, I mean, we're doing 2 hours a week watching the show. He's no way is he going to add another 30 minutes. And it comes on too late for us to do that and then do this. I got to be at work early, right? So, but on Unfiltered, you know, he kept the promo for it was always showing, you know, well, you know, I like getting my ass spanked a little bit. And, you know, so it was probably something like that. But I honestly believe Bao turned Johnny up. When they finally got it on, she turned him out. And he has, like, where she's like, oh, we got to get these mics off. I think, if you ask me, I think Bao turned Johnny out. He's just like, wait a minute. But that's why he's like, we had three great nights of you know, we've got everything on in the bedroom. And then we get to this painting and she's just taking it too serious. Johnny, it's not a frat party. You're not going to be doing the same thing every night. And trust me, you'll get bored in a week and a half if you do that, okay? So get over it. Some things are going to be serious. Some things are going to be fun and playful. And you got to accept her little goofiness because she's accepting yours. And you're goofy as hell. So,
but they're still in the... Okay, I agree with you, even though I'm not married and you are. And you can see... You have a third eye. You can see the world differently than I do. But I think that it's the honeymoon phase still.
Yeah,
it should still be fun. And so if it's in the honeymoon phase that you're getting way too serial about this fun night of painting together, that's a bit much.
You know who she is. That's what she does. She probably has recipes with exact measurements. I mean, and you know, anything. It's that's who she is. She has a spreadsheet for everything. I thought it was interesting when Johnny talked about not learning about sex from his parents and learned it from, what was it, hentai? And it really just brought me to like...
He learned it from freaky anime.
Exactly. But what... Here's the thing. As crazy as that is, and some people would have been like, what the... You watch cartoon sex? What did Bao say? If we got to turn on some hentai to get this thing moving, then let's do it. She's not into hentai, but she's like, if that's what we got to do, let's do it. Let's get this shit rolling. So again... Kudos to Bao. Johnny, you've lost me on this. I think I've turned the corner on Johnny. Bao is the real hero in this one. Kind of like what probably Michaela told Zach. I mean, because, you know, here's the thing about Married at First Sight. I mean, this is your first season watching it. I've watched it a number of, pretty much every season, to be quite honest.
This is your Game of Thrones, is what you're saying. Married at First Sight is your Game of Thrones.
I will say this. At least it doesn't have a season 8. That season 8 of Game of Thrones was shit. But every time a couple starts off hot and heavy, Zach and Michaela is what happens. There is an explosion. There is something just... Because all that passion that's there leads to fireworks later. The fireworks that you see there in the bedroom turns to fireworks outside the bedroom. And we're seeing that. But I gotta ask, what the hell was Zach talking about with that whole bee thing? You know, old Zach and the bee?
Zach and the bee?
You know, but he was talking about the bee and how if I'm sitting under a tree and a bee comes and stings me and I'm reading the book and a chapter comes to me getting married and I'm reading the book and then I get stung by the bee.
I had high hopes for these two, but I personally feel this is not going to go the distance. Zach's body language still says that he's done.
Yeah.
You know, still says that he's done. I think Michaela is trying, bless her heart. I think that she's taken the feedback about her blow-ups, and she's trying to control it. But he's keeps pushing that button and using that as a reason to leave the relationship instead of saying, hey, look, let's talk about how you argue and when you get upset. This is what it makes me feel like. Here's my experience. How do we get over that? But I just don't think he's able to let it go and be able to move on. I think she's willing to try to put in the work. But, I think he's done.
He definitely seems like he's checked out. And he even said that when he's like, yeah, well, you know, when I check out, that's it. And when he lists all these things, and she's looking like, well, I'm not any of those. Well, really and truly, she should be. These are basic requirements that he's asking for in a relationship. But what I did like is that he did ask, he said, what am I doing wrong for us to keep having these blow-ups, right? He did ask that, but I don't think he really... He just did that for the camera, I think, because it wasn't even him trying to really do that. So he's checked out, which causes her to check out. So by the time he's... Oh, well, let me see. She looks like she's trying. It's too late, and she's going to be gone. I mean, and you can see that she's in that mode right now, too. But at the same time, she's blown up over the littlest things, right? And then goes, I'm sorry, and expects it to be okay just because she said I'm sorry. No, the best apologies change behavior. I need to know you're not going to blow up again. And he may be testing her. Who knows?
Now, here's where I'll disagree with you, respectfully always.
Which means here comes the disrespect.
here's what Michaela said to him when he asked, what am I doing wrong? And she just said, you can talk to me. And that's what he's not doing, is saying that before it escalates, like have that conversation. Hey, look, what's going on? Here's what you're doing. And I'm getting this vibe. Can we talk through this and have a conversation? And that's what she said. It's just, talk to me. Let me know how you're feeling. Instead of him just going, now she's going to get mad. And then as soon as she does, that's when he's just like, checked out. Not even trying to make that work.
And leaving the house. Like the whole, will you stay here tonight? Well, I'm not. That doesn't help anything.
Yeah. You know, I think all of that. I thought I just don't think he's listening to what she's saying, but I think that she's actually trying. Because there are some women that's what they've been used to, right? Mm-hmm. And they're now dating somebody who may be different. They don't want to argue and yell and do that. And so that's an adjustment. You just don't fix that in 13 days of marriage. It takes some time to say, hey, you know what? I normally respond like this. Let me dial it back. But I did think the shrimp scampi date, you know, cooking together, I'm going to take that as an idea to do on a date. Like you have a, it probably won't be a professional chef, but have somebody I could have on a Zoom.
So basically, you know, you're going to have me on the chef, on the Zoom, try to pretend to be a chef? Like, yeah.
No,
so,
because you don't eat vegetables, and I like vegetables when I eat, so, you know.
Well, where the vegetables? Oh, you don't need that shit.
Yeah, no, you don't need that. Just meat. That's all we're doing. We're making steaks. What's going with it? Steak.
More steak.
Yeah.
What's going with this filet? Ribeye. Question for you, though. Did Michaela get some cool points when she said that she's a bourbon whiskey girl?
Oh, hell yeah. When I heard that she's like bourbon whiskey, I'm like, that's what I'm talking about, Michaela. Those little foo-foo drinks? No, I like women that like some whiskey. I thought that was good. Now, don't get me wrong, when you and I have talked about it, like different alcohols have different effects. Whiskey makes me more honest. In other words, I say whatever the hell I'm thinking, and sometimes some of those things should be not said out loud. inside voice, but I let it go. So I'm trying to imagine Michaela after 3 or 4, you know, bullet bourbons on the rocks, what's going to come out of her mouth?
You don't have to imagine it. Just
you
go back to
you
the episode.
You a motherfucking goddamn lie.
There's that one.
That's what's going to come out.
That's the bad side. And the good side. The good side is the bachelorette party. I guarantee you, in that country bar, she had some bourbon whiskey.
So you just never know what you're going to get if she's drinking whiskey. You know, you either got to, you know, get sexy pajama pants and outfit, mm-hmm. or you a goddamn motherfucking lie. I can still hear her saying that, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, the way she said that out loud. Mm.
Well, it looks like there's some more blow-ups on the way, too, as we look forward to episode 10. Looks like some more blow-ups on the way. Obviously, I was going to ask which is the first couple that's going to say, or who the first person, because they kind of set this up in the episode, to say I love you. And then, of course, Jose and Rachel had to ruin that and go ahead and say it first. You know, Rachel says it, then has to hold a knife or machete to Jose's neck for him to say it, too. And, you know, probably not the way they want to do it. But one of the things that we did see is that she's going to be like, I don't love him anymore.
Oh. Yeah, but she's not talking about Jose, I think. I think she's talking about the person that she's cheated with or whatever. I think that's just some drama they're trying to show. Cause I'm just
of
like,
course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting this next episode. Are you at least a little bit more into the show now?
No. I still feel the same way about the show when you first said, hey, we're going to do Married at First Sight. And I was arguing with you about it. I still feel the same. But
okay, just checking.
I'm just being a team player. I'm being a great friend.
Well, great friend. We'll do this again next Wednesday as we catch episode 10, season 13, Married at First Sight. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Hey, make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, don't forget to send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about them on our regular show.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.